And while they do, I would invite you to turn to Psalm 145 as we read verses 8 through 13. Psalm 145, 8 through 13. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His compassion is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and gracious in all His deeds. I'm going to throw y'all off today because someone told me last week, you know, you always stand on the same side. And since I'm not one that's prone to pace back and forth on the stage, I'll move to this side today. Here we are, early in January. Christmas celebrations have passed, including Epiphany, or Twelfth Night, as I mentioned to the children. That was this past Tuesday. So if you left your Christmas tree up until then, you can always tell people, even if it just slipped your mind or you ran out of time, that you were celebrating Epiphany. Now, if it's still up, I don't know what you're going to say. Unless you undecorate it from the Christmas ornaments and then you hang hearts on it in February and Easter eggs at the beginning of April or whatever. And if you leave it up there long enough, you might just, between February and Easter, have a Lent tree. Well, that's L-I-N-T. But cold weather has set in, right? Stores already have Valentine candy and cards out. I was in the store. I was in the Wally World on January 1. I told Mary, I don't feel good about this because they say what you do on January 1st, you'll end up doing the rest of the year often. And I really don't want to be there that often. But they had already stripped the Christmas candy and put it on clearance. And they already had out Valentine's hearts, Valentine candies, all that kind of stuff. We seem to be rushing everything all the time. But many of us sit around or move around during these days in January and beyond. We start counting what I sometimes call the doldrum days between now and Easter. After all, that's really the next big time to praise God, right? That's right, all the time. A couple of years ago, the children did a musical that youth and children back in the 70s did, called 365 Days of Christmas each year. And so we don't have to wait until Easter, as I said to the children a few moments ago. This particular psalm for today challenges the notions that we only have special times where we offer praise and blessing to God and offer blessing to others on behalf of God. Now, it was probably written somewhere near the end of the Babylonian exile. And the psalmist here focuses on God's character and His kingdom and how those things are the basis for praise and blessing every day, forever and ever, as he will say in the last verse of Psalm 145. So it's not just in the good days, but even on those doldrum days that we are called to praise God. And to do things, not to gain brownie points, but in praise of God. because of the blessings that God gives to us. This particular psalm, by the way, was often used as both a reflective and inspiring solo in temple worship. One of the Levites would stand and sing or chant this particular psalm at different points in worship services. It begins with a promise to praise and to bless the Lord every day and forever. And it ends with the same promise. Every day for as long as one lives. Now, early in the psalm, the psalmist calls on others. It's not just the psalmist that is reflecting, but he's calling on the congregation of Israel, or anyone who could hear or even later read the psalm, to reflect with him on God's wondrous works. Works that aren't done by other supposed gods, but works that can only be done by the one who is the Creator, the Lord of life. This section is intended to get each one present, and subsequently each generation thereafter, to remember and to praise God first and foremost for His mighty actions. We note several places in the psalm, though, where those actions are not just for Israel and the Israelites present in that worship service. Those actions are on behalf of the whole world. The whole world. And we're to reflect on not just the things that God does for us, but the ways that God's blessings have been seen throughout creation. God has done for each individual many things, and we're to reflect on those, but we're also to reflect upon the corporate aspects as well, because God doesn't just do for individuals. God did for the nation of Israel. God does for the communities of faith. But God also does great things for the world, even those who don't follow Him. And this in itself was to inspire worship and praise of God for both the individual and the corporate things that God does. Each person was, and I would suggest even today, each person is what we are because of what we have received from God. We are what we are, in part, because of what we have received from God. The other part is we are what we are, in part, because of what we do or don't do with those blessings that we receive. And the psalmist, while much of what he speaks of, and many of the psalms speak more in material terms, there's also a much deeper and more important aspect here. It's also spiritual resources with which God blesses us. However, these blessings are not just for our private use. And these remembrances, while they are to inspire us privately, they're not for us then to just keep locked inside. The blessings that God gives us and those we receive are to cause us to praise God with our mouth, with our spirit, and with our actions. In fact, verse 7 says that the Lord blesses and we are to be a blessing because of what God does. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, that is God, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. We are to do that to everyone, not just when we gather on Sundays or Wednesdays or some other time, but to everyone. God is both King in and of Israel and the ruler of the entire earth. And this should inspire praise of God. Which then brings us to our focal verses. He has been trying to inspire folks to think about the mighty acts of God and all those wondrous things that God has done for the earth and for we as the community. and then for each of us individually. But in the focal verses, the psalmist moves from God's great majesty out there to the fact that the majestic creator and ruler over all the world is compassionate and caring as well. I know sometimes we read parts of the Hebrew scriptures and we think, that's not very caring. And God says, if you don't do these commandments, then this is going to happen. And these horrible things may happen to you. Famines and floods and diseases and being conquered. It's not because God wishes to do those things, though. God reminds us that I give you these blessings, but if you misuse them, oftentimes there are consequences of that misuse, even of not following me. But God is compassionate and caring. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, verse 8. As one writer has put it, and I quote, God's anger does not have a short fuse, and His love has no limits. End quote. God's anger does not have a short fuse. Even in the Hebrew Scriptures, when the exile happened, and this probably was written at the end of the exile, it wasn't because God had a short fuse and said, boom, and flew off the handle. How long had God waited? So God's anger does not have a short fuse, and His love has no limits. His true glory, though, is not found just as in His creative works and the grand power of the earth around us, but His glory is found in His acts of mercy. In fact, I would submit to you that perhaps in God's acts of mercy, when we certainly don't deserve them, that is the greatest glory of God's power that we see. He has pity and forgives. He even has compassion on those who doubt Him and those who refuse Him. And God gives His goodness even to those who think, you know, I'm too insignificant to really be noticed or cared for. Sometimes, in the heat of everyday living, both in the day of the psalmist and even here in the 21st century, it can be difficult to hold on to this faith and these statements of mercy, can it not? In the face of violence, poverty, uncertainty, when we feel crushed, when we have hurt spirits, all of these would tend to drag us down to the pits of despair. And they do oftentimes test our faith, do they not? Yet, as Stuart McCullough writes, and I quote, but, for the psalmist, faith endures whatever the experience. If it failed in individuals, faith flourished in the race. In spite of material loss, physical suffering, spiritual distress, at last, it was proclaimed and exemplified in one who has often been called the man of sorrows, who convinced multitudes unnumbered that God is truly love. It is this faith that makes the religion of the Bible a religion of praise. Such a life of dependence begets the gratitude which multiplies joy. Wherever men, wherever men and women sincerely return thanks and praise, radiance streams even in the darkest hours. End of quote. And God doesn't just give this mercy and goodness to a select special few or only in good times. God gives this to all and every day. Even when we are in the middle of those doldrum days, or when we seem to be in the depths of despair, God is there to give grace and mercy and to help us through. The very works that God does for us and in us speak in praise of God. Especially when we voice those things. We sing songs of praise. We utter prayers of praise. We say, thank you, God. But perhaps even more importantly, when we live for Him in the everydayness of life, even in the doldrum days. Through individuals and through the corporate people of God, God's, bless you, God's character and sovereignty are to be known and made known to everyone. And this is one of our parts of praising and blessing God. For you see, we not only are to praise God, the text says we are to bless God. Wait a minute. God doesn't need blessing, does it? Does he? No, he doesn't need our blessing, but we are to bless God by being a blessing to other folks. We're to bless God by doing, by telling, by listening. We're to bless God by living so that others may know. The kingdom of God that he mentions here means God's reign wherever he rules. In fact, wherever God is, the psalmist indicates, there he is Lord. The goal of history itself really is the kingdom of God being recognized and lived throughout all of creation. That's a real goal of history. That the kingdom of God might be recognized and lived throughout creation. And it's to be part of every generation, which is no small task, is it? But all the faithful are to help that happen because all the faithful are to bless and declare God's glory, God's power, God's splendor, but also God's love and God's mercy. We recognize and proclaim God's love, but we also are to show and proclaim God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to His words here in verse, both in verse 3 and in the latter part of where we have just read. That is His promises and His gracious deeds. Those words, those promises, and those deeds for us, and His desire to do these through us to all the world. McCullough writes, if we follow this understanding, we should not be so often cast down, not so often disturbed by petty grudges or imagined slights, or by temporary failures, foolish words, or even stupid deeds, which make us lose a sense of proportion, which make us forget the mercies of God, and then we too spread gloom and complaint. End of quote. Instead, we are to seek to find our way. We're to seek to focus on the blessing of Father, the one who cares, the one who is accessible, hearing our cries, hearing us in the doldrum days, and saving us. Not just saving us in Jesus for a time off in the future, but saving us sometimes even from ourselves on those days. And then as the psalmist both promises and then challenges, we are to speak in praise of God all of our days and forever. And so the question comes to me, not just today on a Sunday, but in the middle of January when it's cold and rainy and dark. Or when something happens that causes me to feel hurt, or causes me to wonder and maybe even say, as oftentimes Israel did, "How long, O Lord?" The question is, what do I have on which to utter praise? And I think that even on those doldrum days, if we will pause long enough and open ourselves to reflecting upon the blessings of God, perhaps especially that the Lord is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that we will find there is more about which to praise than to complain. And that way, we can offer our lives in praise of God. And I know what you're thinking. That sounds all nice and neat, and it sure is easier to say than when you're right there in the middle of the doldrums. And that's true. As I have said before, there have been days when I have screamed and said, "Are you even listening?" Only to then find later that not only was God listening, but even in the midst of my doubt, He was seeking to bless. So, for what will you offer praise of God? May we pray. Our gracious God, we so often fail. We fail to give you praise. Oh, we do so when the big things happen. But in the everydayness, when all the little things are piling up, so often we forget to look for your blessing, even in small ways, and to offer you blessing and praise. Help us, especially in this beginning of this new year, to make a conscious effort to look for those things which might cause us to offer praise of you unto others and unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is hymn number 56. It's a hymn that reminds us, "To God be the glory, great things He has done," of the greatness that God does. But the challenge is, at least for me, in thinking about and singing this hymn is, yes, I can praise God for the wondrous things He has done that are big and flashy. But what else is there that I'm missing? And so I hope as we sing, "To God be the glory," we'll also be thinking about the small ways in which we can give God the glory. Hymn number 56, "To God be the glory."